Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, no Mike Rizzo today, but we still have Damian Perez behind the glass today. We're at the City Place Studios. If you miss any of the program today, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Go watch us live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Today is the first day of college basketball. Damian, you want to know how I started my day?
How's that? There was an early game, right? Like around 11.
Winthrop, Queens, yep. 8 a.m. tip. In Rick and Rock Hill, South Carolina. You know who's watching that game?
You were.
Colin Russo. I watched that game, and then I was able to turn on the St. Bonnie's Bradley game, which Bradley butchered that game. They had a chance.
Didn't Woj get ejected from that game?
That's a fake. Like? That was Centel.
Oh, it was fake. Right.
You got swindled. That was a fake report. And in that Field of 68, which is the tournament they're doing, I love college basketball. For those who don't know, that's my favorite. See, I'm not going to do too much on this. My older brother, Tim Russo, is the second assistant on Northern Arizona, which is a Big Sky team. They're taking on Drake right now. And Drake is a better team, better program than they are. The coach from Drake last year got hired at Iowa and basically brought the whole team with him. So it is a rebuilding year. Northern Arizona, who, by the way, he's not listening. He's got a game right now, who usually stinks. And they don't have the players. They never do. They had a great player last year. They did nothing with him. Point being, Northern Arizona against Drake right now, 31-28 at halftime. Northern Arizona's up. I'm going to keep an eye on that game, Damian. It's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And that will be a game that I give updates on as we get closer. Northern Arizona University basketball and Drake. All right, just a heads up. So don't sue me. Don't get mad when you're hearing an update of what's going on in Northern Arizona. All right, so that's number one. Because Tim Russo is on the brink of a big upset because, Lord, does that team need it. Nonetheless, the thing about what you could do with all these games, college basketball, you could do it on the NFL. Now that the baseball is over, you need something else. Perfect timing that college basketball is getting started because you can bet all this on the Hard Rock Bet app. Go download the app today on the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. Hard Rock Bet is the best because it caters to both types of players. If you're the brand new player and you don't really know how to navigate throughout a sports book, and it's easy because the interface is simple to learn. But on the other side of things, if you're a very experienced player and you demand a lot of you out of your sports book, that app covers you as well. Get an intricate parlay together. Utilize a profit boost, a promo boost. It's all available to you on the app. Best part, you go into the app, you bet $5 on anything. That first $5 deposited, if you win that bet, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. It is that great. That is Hard Rock Bet. Download it today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus physically present. Info to the wager. Terms and conditions do apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. All right, Damian, let's bounce around a little bit. Let's do a little 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked tan.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one,
we got SMU versus UM in Dallas in an OT game. SMU takes down UM 26-20, delivering them their second loss. The game was ended basically with a Carson Beck interception.
Another bad one.
Where are you at with UM? Are they basically, is their season done? Do they still have a shot at the playoffs?
Is this bizarre? Because they're very lucky that Georgia Tech also lost. Am I crazy to say that their season is not dead yet? Their season might not be dead. Can they still make the postseason? They need help. But it's not impossible. It isn't. Do I think Miami's going to do anything? Absolutely not. Do I think they'll be in the postseason? Absolutely not. If anything, what the weekend showed you is that the ACC is a one-bid conference. Uno. One. Are we going to see two? Maybe not. if Georgia Tech is able to knock off Georgia and they still win their conference championship, maybe we could have a conversation about Georgia Tech. But I can't see a two-loss Miami. And let's say they have three losses. Maybe they don't. Let's say a two-loss Miami that doesn't even qualify for the ACC championship game because they got two in-conference losses. That team does not get in. A three-loss SEC would get in before a two-loss Miami. I would say that. And I would say a two-bid Big 12 is becoming a little bit more likely. And I thought it was ACC. You asked me 5 days ago, but the ACC had a rough weekend. I would say that Miami at two, the only way in is to get lucky, qualify for the ACC championship game, and win that. That's the only way they're going to get it. But they're not dead. They're not dead. Damian, are you out of Miami as well?
I'll be honest, I'm out. And that all comes down to Carson Beck. This is the second game where he throws an interception that basically loses them the game to an ACC opponent. So if it comes down to that, I have to be out on UM this year.
Yeah, and every Georgia fan is sitting there thinking, boy, oh boy, I am glad that is not us. Because that is what they dealt with basically all year long. The 2 years that they had Carson Beck over at Georgia, especially last year, where he was all over the place. But a terrible, terrible, terrible loss by Miami. Oh, gosh. First time they're outside of the state of Florida all year and they lose in the first true road test. Ugh. Terrible. Terrible. I'm out of Miami. Let's forget about them. I know I had them in my top five of my polls. Let's move on. Number two.
Number two.
Another big upside. This one in the NFL. The Packers lost at home in Lambeau Field to the Panthers 16-3 in a game where Jordan Love threw zero touchdowns and one interception. Are you panicking if you're Green Bay?
Weirdly enough, I'm not panicking because I feel like we don't really know what they are. And I think that's been the case this entire season. Ever since that Cleveland Brown loss, you knew that this team was going to be erratic. Now, if you ask a Packer fan, their pie chart of blame basically looks like this. About 65-70% they put on LaFleur. Matt LaFleur, their head coach. Their play caller, they say he's too conservative in the first half of the game. They can never get anything offensively inclined. And you can make that argument. 13 points against a defense that gave up about 50 points last week to the Buffalo Bills. Now, the other thing I would say is Carolina's a ride. I took that over 6.5 wins. Damien, I'm going to get that now. I'm not dead yet.
Rico Dowdle.
They're going to play. They play a tight game basically every time. Bryce Young, every time he gets a win, it's a game-winning drive. He's got 9 in his career. He's got like 10 wins. He's got 9 game-winning drives. Now, is this a concerning loss if you're Green Bay? Absolutely. You cannot lose at home like this. But if you're Green Bay's defense, hey, Bryce Young at 100 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, he went 11 for 20 passing.
Not the best game.
That, you almost sign up for that. Yes, they gave up 130 yards to Rico Dowdle.
The defense played unbelievable, though.
Defense played great, and the Green Bay Packer offense was not great. They couldn't convert in the red zone. 273 yards from Jordan Love. He had these two passes. His sole interception was awful. And then he had another play in the red zone on a fourth down.
Should have been a pick six.
It should have been a pick six. He threw it across his body on the other side of the field. Again, Jordan Love plays safe. It seems like he tries too hard to play safe because he led the league in interceptions, what, last year?
That might be haunting him, huh?
And so he's overthinking, and he's trying to play ultra safe. And then he has these one or two plays a game where he feels like he's forced to try to make a play, especially with Christian Watson back. And then it's the worst interception you've ever seen in your entire life. He's an erratic player. He had an 8-game stretch in 2023 where he earned himself a contract. It was an 8-9 game stretch and a playoff win. That was what sold people on Jordan Love. I'm not saying he shouldn't be sold on him. I'm just saying he's not far over Rodgers. So, and this is 1 week removed from one of the best games I've ever seen Jordan Love play. Top three, easy. At Pittsburgh last week on Sunday Night Football. That was probably one of the best I've seen Jordan Love this year. And it was one of the better games I've ever seen him play. And then he follows that up with this week. And you can blame LaFleur more than you want to blame Love, fine. But Love had those two terrible plays where he's trying to turn something out of nothing and it doesn't work. So am I out on Green Bay? No, because I also have their over. That was where the crossroad game, Damien, because I need 10 wins out of Green Bay. I think I'll get it, but Green Bay.
This one bought you a win, though. You were not expecting
it. I needed this from Carolina more than I needed this from Green Bay. Green Bay has the Eagles. They got the Giants, Vikings, Lions, Bears. They finish off the season with the Broncos, Bears, Ravens, and Vikings. Not impossible, but definitely not easy, especially if the Ravens need the game. There are a lot. That was a look ahead game because next Monday Night Football, when they got against the Eagles post bye, that's going to be a hard one to win. But it's a game that the Packers are capable of winning because they turn it on and turn it off. They're a very erratic bunch. I'm not out on them. I just think they need to become consistent, and they haven't yet. What's number three?
Number three.
We'll keep this one short and simple. The Dodgers beat the Blue Jays in a Game 7 World Series in Toronto. Is it safe to say that the Dodgers are a dynasty?
Yeah, this is a dynasty. They win their division every year. They're in the playoffs every year. They're going to sign every big free agent there is. And I don't want to get too far into it, but when Kyle Tucker, outfielder for the Chicago Cubs, enters free agency, and the Dodgers, who had outfield trouble all postseason, go and sign him, and then they go and make a deadline trade for Tarek Skubal and sign him to a $500 million contract just before the new CBA kicks in, don't come looking at me saying we're surprised. The Dodgers are a dynasty. They're only going to get better. They reinvest. They have Mark Walter as their owner, who, by the way, just bought the Lakers, who's one of the best owners in sports, knows how to reinvest in the teams. And that is what you're going to continue to see. They're going to reload, reload, and reload. As long as they got Shohei Yamamoto, who is blossoming into one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, if they can get anything from a starter level out of Roki Sasaki, the three Japanese superstars, they got more coming. So hold your breath for this team to lose if you're thinking about next year. What's number four?
Number four.
Joe Flacco traded mid-season to the Bengals from the Cleveland Browns, put up 42 points against the Chicago Bears yesterday with a stat line of 470 yards and four touchdowns. With the game that Joe Flacco had, where are you with Joe Burrow? Do the Bengals really, is it more of the Bengals system, I guess? Is it the bad defense, or is it actually Joe Burrow?
Isn't this insane? Am I wrong here to assume that every game that Flacco plays, the worse it looks for Joe Burrow? They have scored 30-plus points in the three straight games since he's been there. They scored 42 points and 38 points the last 2 weeks, and they lost both games. Sound familiar? And we're throwing around MVP candidate talks for Joe Burrow. They have studs all over the offense, and they just need somebody who's not afraid to throw it because those guys make plays. It was T. Higgins yesterday. It was Jamar Chase. Chase Brown is still really good. They have players everywhere. But every time, Joe Flacco's played two games for them, and he's had two career games. He had that game against Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football. We had 350 yards, three touchdowns. It basically pitched a gem. And then he had yesterday where he had 470 yards passing. Is it unfair for me to say, hey, when Lamar goes down for the Ravens, that entire offense blows up? And I know Jake Browning stunk, but they get a halfway decent quarterback in for the Bengals with all those weapons.
We've seen him had success. Maybe not this season, but in the past, Joe Browning has had success.
Right. And Browning's been all right. But Joe Flacco is the same guy for Cleveland who couldn't complete a pass. This looks bad for Burrow. Maybe they shouldn't have invested $500 million offensively and then let the defense give up 45 points. Was Joe Burrow worth all that money? Is it crazy to say that? Because now that defense is a nightmare. Logan Wilson wants out. Trey Hendrickson's going to be out. Shamar Stewart, the guy who wanted to sit out in the offseason in exchange for a fully guaranteed contract, he is stunk. They lose every game because of their defense. Now there seems to be turmoil inside the locker room with Chase Brown post-game comments. And Joe Burrow is on the sideline. This is a crap storm for the Bengals. Looks really bad, in my opinion, about Joe Burrow. You agree with that, Damian?
I think it's to your point.
Burrow's great. We know he's great. He was a great college player. He had a great start to his NFL career. He's good in a playoff game. He's a winner. But you're going to give him $60 million and you have all this offensive production around him. It's almost like you don't need both. You could either have a great quarterback and iffy receiving weapons or excellent weapons and an iffy quarterback.
And that O-line was looking horrible at the beginning of the season with Joe Burrow. I don't know if Flacco has been touched as much as Joe Burrow has been.
Flacco's been all right. I mean, he got sacked quite a bit yesterday, but it hasn't been awful. It has not been awful. So I just think every waking second we see Joe Flacco break records.
That is a very quarterback-friendly offense, though, from every dynamic, not just from
the
weapons.
Throw to either wide receiver one over here or wide receiver one over there, and they're so good that they'll make it work.
And that defense, you know, they can't stop a nosebleed, so you're always going to stay aggressive. You're going to keep that foot on the gas pedal. if you're on offense.
Can we really say that we're surprised that this is how the Bengals season has went? Not only Burrow has gotten hurt before in the past, you can't predict stuff like that.
But the fact that they've been able to score,
and they've been able to score with absolutely anybody, but they can't stop anything.
Nothing.
They can't stay in front of anybody. And that is the reason why this team will eventually be gutted. This team has no future in my sight. This team cannot make a sustained playoff run because they got absolutely no defense. So I'm out on Cincinnati. I wasn't high on them to come into the year, even with Burrow. And I know they beat Jacksonville, Jake Browning. But Joe Flacco or not, it just goes to show, number one, you don't need both the amazing, amazing weapons and then an amazing, amazing quarterback. You don't need that. Because clearly, Joe Burrow and Joe Flacco, Joe Burrow's a better player than he is. Joe Flacco's making a whole lot less than Joe Burrow is. It's been a whole lot of the same. What's number, where are we at? Number four?
Number five.
Five.
Last but not least, the surging Colts lost to the Steelers in Pittsburgh 27-20 in a game where Daniel Jones looked more like Danny Dimes than Indiana Jones, throwing three interceptions. What's your pulse check with these Colts? Are they contenders? Are they pretenders? Was this a game you just throw away? Where are you at with the Colts?
I throw this game away. You want to talk about whether you buy in or buy out or whether you think Daniel Jones is going to slip into bad habits because of what happened here. I'm out on that. I think that this Colts team is going to be fine. I still think they're great. I think the Steelers just caught them. I think they dominated their offensive line. It was one of those games that the Colts, every great team has had a bad game. Look at the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. They've made three acquisitions, including Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins, which I have no idea why that happened. But nonetheless,
why couldn't Dallas do that?
Yeah, right. Why couldn't somebody a little bit more needy, who's not the best team in the country, in the entire league? Nonetheless, you look at that. That Eagle team had a terrible game against the Giants. This is one of those terrible games for the Colts. The Colts have scored 40 plus basically every single week. They've had the most prolific offense in the league. They could run the ball on anybody. Daniel Jones has been good. They have they were not out of the game. They had moments. They got it thoroughly outplayed, but they still had chances. The reason they're allowed to have a loss like that is because they had the eight games prior that allotted them that. They're not in danger of losing that division, not anytime soon. The one thing they got to start thinking about is that number one overall seed in the AFC, because everybody else has bled, and the Colts have bled the least, which is why I'm not out on them. That's it? That's five?
That's five.
That was a 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We're looping the voice of the 305. Jonathan Zazzo coming up on the other side. Northern Arizona just hit four straight threes. They're up 11 points on Drake.
There you go.
They're up 11 points on Drake. That, if you need a college basketball team outside of Florida this year, Dame.
Arizona.
Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona. Big Sky. Nobody watches those games. That's ESPN Plus territory. Nonetheless, we'll keep you updated. We'll get Jonathan Zazzo on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. It's Colin Russo, no Mike Rizzo. Today we got Damian Price behind the glass, as always, looping in. Good friend of show. You can hear him on ESPN Radio's College Football Campus Tour and the Zazzo Show 2.0. He was at Florida, Georgia over the weekend, where Florida put up a really good fight and gave them all they could handle throughout the game. Let's loop him in. The voice of the 305, Jonathan Zazzo.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami sports radio.
Hey, you could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins delusion.
Can the Bills offense keep up with the Dolphins offense?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo. Woo! Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305.
Well, Zaz, welcome in. How are we doing today? What's going on? Zaz, are you with us? We'll get Jonathan Zazzo here organized here momentarily. We don't have some technical difficulties on that front. In the meantime, Northern Arizona over Drake. I'm going to keep updating everybody on this. Tim Russo, my brother, second assistant on Northern Arizona basketball. Their season opener against Drake right now, 51-44. They've been hot as can be from three-point land. And Drake is going to keep battling. And, you know, that's a team that's always in the mix. But Northern Arizona, who usually stinks, actually showing a little bit of promise in that opening game. I was up this morning at 7:45 in the morning for Queens Winthrop. It is college basketball season for the sickos such as myself. Big fan of that. We haven't talked too much about what happened on the NCAA football side of things. They actually had a pretty good day in terms of good games. Oklahoma, Tennessee, which was up against the World Series, a good game for Oklahoma. They're still alive and probably knocked Tennessee out. Their third loss. Tennessee also still has to deal with Vanderbilt. Two SEC teams that were on the outside looking in terms of knocking, as in Tennessee and Vanderbilt, who both lost. Vanderbilt fell to Texas on the road, 34-31. They scored 21 unanswered. They were down 21 points. I mean, it's 24 points in that game. Unacceptable first half. But, I mean, we'll get the full rundown from the expert himself. Jonathan Zaslow joins us now from the Zaslow Show 2.0, the voice of the 305. Zaz, are you with us? What's going on? No, we don't have Zaz yet. We're going to hear from him in a momentarily. We're figuring that out behind the scenes. But back to what I was saying. Vanderbilt probably most likely out. They got Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee to finish off the year. I guess if they win out, they're still got a chance outside looking in. But with A&M, Georgia, and Alabama straight up, that would be a tough game, tough spot to sneak back into the playoff consideration. I'm assuming four teams are going to get in. Now, the good news is Oklahoma's still in it, but Oklahoma still has to deal with Alabama and Mizzou. Mizzou's without their quarterback, but they still got to beat Alabama and Mizzou. Nonetheless, Jonathan Zaslow, third time's a charm. Welcome into the program. What's going on?
Colin, you got me?
I got you loud and clear.
Okay, there you go.
How are we doing today? What's going on?
We had a good time in Jacksonville.
Yeah, so we were in Jacksonville for the Florida-Georgia game. I have never been to that event, the largest outdoor cocktail party.
That was my first time.
First time. Give us your reactions. Number one, of the environment and with the college football campus tour. I know you talked to Spurrier, but on top of that, Jacksonville as a whole.
Well, first of all, the game was fantastic. All right, so you like that, even though the Gators, you know, it's a lost season for them. They put up a great fight, really fun game, great atmosphere. Stadium's a dump, got to be honest. Stadium's a dump. You can understand why they're doing the renovations, all right, and the game's not going to be there again until 2028. Next year, Atlanta, the year after that, Tampa. But overall atmosphere, great environment, had a great time. I loved it. You?
All right, I like the environment outside the stadium. I did not actually get into the stadium, weirdly enough, and I'm a Jags fan of all things. Uh-huh. I like the area of where the stadium is. I like the bridge access. I like the location. I like the tailgating environment. I thought that was all great. I thought the Florida and Georgia fan both traveled very well.
Yeah.
I just didn't think Jacksonville was all that much. I could have without the city of Jacksonville.
What were you expecting from Jacksonville?
You know what people say, what their big calling card is? They say that they're the largest city via landmass in the United States. They got like 750 square miles or something like that, and it's the largest continental one outside of Alaskan cities. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah, like I'm Jacksonville, whatever.
It's 4 miles across. It's 4 miles across, and then it's a bunch of, you know, it's nothing else.
It's the second time I've ever been there in my life. I've never said, hey, let's go to Jacksonville for the weekend, all right? So I wasn't expecting anything out of Jacksonville.
Right, but I listen, and Jose has an NFL franchise. I know Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is investing a lot in that city. But I was on Halloween night. You know, Zaza, we met you out in downtown Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was a little dead where we were.
It was a lot. That was downtown Jacksonville. It was a lot dead.
We weren't in a bad spot. I thought we were in a good spot.
No, it was dead. It was Halloween night. Yeah. There was a ton of good sports going on with a huge rivalry game on the next day in that city. And there was no buzz. And I know a lot of people say go to the beaches. The beaches where a lot of the action is. Nonsense. It's downtown, and it's a huge rivalry game where a lot of people either live locally or come in for the night to spend some time in Jacksonville, on top of that being a major, you know, going out holiday. And I didn't see any of that.
I hear you. You know, I guess I didn't have big expectations.
I guess I had different expectations than you did.
Yeah, like I'm dialed in on just the game and doing my job there that weekend. I loved it, though. We had a great time in Jacksonville. I thought world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I thought it, you know, the fans, the tailgate, all of it brought it. And, you know, a wild weekend of college football, obviously. The Miami Hurricanes, very disappointing.
So let's get right to that. The SMU, the first game Miami played outside of the state of Florida all year. And what did they do? Exactly what you'd expect. Carson Beck, an interception in overtime.
Yeah.
26-20. Go ahead.
You know, first game outside the state of Florida, like you said, all season for the Hurricanes. And we were there in Dallas at SMU in week two, maybe, this season. So we've been to that stadium. It's not exactly, you know, this daunting atmosphere.
It's not Death Valley.
It's a small little building. They don't even get very loud. I got news for you, all right? There may have been some pumping and noise in the game, too. Hurricane fans were complaining about that. But nonetheless, it's not this... It's not this
crazy road environment where, all right, you got to win that game, huh?
Not at all. So it's super disappointing if you're a Hurricanes fan. Right now, they're seventh in the ACC. Like, they have no chance of appearing. It was already a long shot with one loss to appear in the ACC title game. They got no chance now and slim to none to get into the college football playoff. I don't see the route.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Now, they're not completely dead. There's obviously a path for them to eventually get there. The ACC, Georgia Tech losing opens things up a little bit.
I think the ACC is only to get one team. That's it.
That was my takeaway. I thought that weekend with Georgia Tech losing and Miami losing, all that told you was if there was going to be a two-bid conference, it's either going to be the Big 12 or they're going to add another to the SEC. That is what that's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia, like, does anyone believe Virginia's really good? No. They could totally lose one or two of these final few ACC games, but as a whole, I don't see how, like, I don't think that the loser of the ACC championship game, the way last year SMU lost the ACC title game, but again, remember, SMU had no conference losses last year before that ACC title game. I don't think the loser of the ACC title game gets in this year, and I certainly don't think anyone else gets an at-large.
Yeah, you're trying to make an argument. If you're a committee member and you're going to try to make an argument in favor of an ACC school, what can you possibly say?
Nah.
You can't say the conference itself is some daunting, everybody's beating each other up conference, because it's not.
It's
not. And there's a lot of bad teams in that conference, too. Syracuse stinks. Boston College is terrible.
And
Florida State's
not
good.
It's not like any of these teams outside of Miami have any type of cachet. You know, Louisville, Duke, nobody cares about these other teams. They're not bringing in the viewers, you know? So I think the ACC is getting one school. That's it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And I don't know, unless they need some help, they need, you know, these ACC schools, like you said, they're not great. So therefore, they could lose pretty much any game on the schedule the rest of the way. A lot of these teams, you saw with Georgia Tech, they're always going to be in a close game.
Yep.
Louisville could always lose. Pitt could always lose. You never know what could happen with these teams. But I agree with you. I think if there is any reason that the committee can get that would make sense logically to get in another team into the college football playoff from the SEC, I think they're going to take that and not look back. Or the Big 12, which is quietly, you know, BYU, Texas Tech. There's been a couple of teams there that have given them a reason. Hey, if we're going to throw them a bone, we did the ACC last year. We could turn right around and get the Big 12 too this year.
Look, if anything, the way this weekend went down, big wins, big win overall for the Big 10 and the SEC, because you could wind up seeing a scenario where maybe get five teams from the SEC now. Maybe you wind up getting four teams from the Big Ten. Because of what the ACC is doing, and yes, it depends what happens with the Big 12, if they wind up getting more than one team, I thought ACC, Big Ten, big winners this weekend.
Jonathan's
SEC, Big Ten, big winners.
Jonathan Zazo, the voice of the 305, joining us now on Russo and Rizzo, Colin Russo, Damian Perez. Zaz, let's go to the NFL really quick. A couple big upset losses. I want to stay on the Packers really quick. Panthers, Packers, 16-13. In Lambeau Field, they lost. Panthers, this is a week removed from losing by just about 40 points to the Buffalo Bills. They were classic back and forth. By the way, I have their over, so I'm actually excited about that. But nonetheless, does that game by the Packers, you calling panic on that team? Because I know a lot of Packer fans are blaming the coach. Some blame the quarterback. Some blame the defense. Some blame the offense. It's all over the place. But where are you at with that Packer loss on Sunday at Lambeau?
I'm not a fan of the quarterback. I mean, I said it all season. I've been saying it for a couple of years now. Not a fan of the quarterback. But Green Bay still, like, sitting atop what might be the best division in all of football. And it feels like it's totally up for grabs because Minnesota, they're on the up now, all right? Excellent performance out of Minnesota. Detroit's right there. Chicago saves their season, essentially, with that win against Cincinnati, who's terrible. I mean, by the way, I think Cincinnati's offense and defense, I think they're going to fight. I think there's going to be a fight one day between those guys. So, Green Bay, still with the, you know, the inside track, obviously, in that division, but I'm not a fan of the quarterback. And then you look at Carolina. Help me figure out the Carolina Panthers, because they lost what they did last week to Buffalo, 41-7, I think it was. They lost the Falcons. Was that 30-0?
Well, they beat the Falcons 30-0, and then they got absolutely demolished by the Patriots against the Patriots by about 50 points.
And at one point in the game against the Dolphins, they were down 17-0. before they came back and they won that game. So help me figure out this Panther team. Week-to-week basis, it doesn't seem like you know what you're going to get out of
them. I'll say on this. Every other week, the Panthers will give you something. And one thing I got to give them a lot of credit for is that Dave Canales, underrated coach, because he gets them responding well after a bad loss. Because it was that Dolphin comeback that they had the week after that Patriot loss. They had a terrible loss to the Cardinals in week two. Then they came out immediately after in the Falcon win. And they lost embarrassingly to the Buffalo Bills. And they went to Lambeau and beat them the week after.
I mean, look, they're two games back in the division of Tampa. And they haven't played Tampa yet.
Right.
So, like, here's the reality check. Carolina controls their own destiny.
And they still have two against the Saints they got to play on top of that. So, I mean, now leave it to Carolina to lose at home against the Saints next week, 1 o'clock, because that's the type of thing that Carolina does. But that's a team that can flirt with 8-9 wins and can be a spoiler for a team looking for seeding. I don't think that's a playoff team, but that's why they're fun. It's a joy to watch that team, because if you don't have a dog in the fight, I only have the over on the wins. It's a fun team to watch throughout the year. It was 6.5.
Oh, you're in great shape.
Good shape. And they got a tougher schedule because they still have to play Seattle. They still have to play Tampa. They still have to play some teams.
Great shape.
But that gets them in a good spot. You mentioned the Cincinnati Bengals. Offensive and defensive at each other's throats, essentially, with the defense being absolutely terrible and the offense being prolific once again. Now, I have two questions for you. I want to start offensively. Joe Flacco, 470 yards. 2 weeks ago, he had 320 yards, pitches a gem against Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football. Does this make you think any less of Joe Burrow? The fact that we are seeing so much production and basically the same thing what the Bengals always are, even with Burrow, with Flacco?
No. If anything, it makes me think less of Cleveland because, man, like that Cleveland offense there, when Flacco was there, you couldn't get anything out of him. And then he walks into Cincinnati several days later and right from the get-go was throwing the ball over the field. Now, I get it. You got Jamar Chase. You got T. Higgins. But it shows you Flacco could still play and Cleveland still couldn't get anything out of him. I think I know what I see in Joe Burrow. Like, that's a big-time quarterback right there. And unfortunately, because of the defensive situation, you know, the Bengals' M.O. this season has been, can we just get to Burrow? Because they're hoping Burrow can be available to them in December. And they were headed toward that when after they beat the Steelers, they're sitting at 3-4. And then you look at the next two games. We're at home against the Jets and the Bears. We should be over 500. Instead, you got the loss to the Jets, their only win of the season, and then they blow it yesterday against the Bears. Like this Bengal team, they really should have been sitting pretty right now, getting close to a returning Burrow.
Yeah, the way I looked at it is, with Joe, all it tells me is that you don't necessarily need to invest all of that capital in great offensive pieces, more so than anybody else in the league, with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase,
well,
and
yeah,
they got
I
Brown.
Have, I wouldn't have paid both receivers.
You don't need great skill positions that elevate a quarterback, and you don't need a great quarterback that elevates already great skill positions.
No, because you see what you're doing in New England. You got the great quarterback. He can get it done without having stars all around him. I'm Cincinnati. I don't pay both receivers. So give me a little bit of that money sprinkled on the defensive side.
That's where they're getting burned.
Yep.
Because now you think of it, all right, well, the team could still be really prolific offensively with the great players and the iffy quarterback. You don't necessarily need great at both because you're neglecting one side of the ball.
I saw they were the first team since the 60s that scored 38 points in back-to-back weeks
and lost. Yep.
Crazy.
That's exactly what we saw last year with Burrow and the Bengals. So the fact that nothing is changing and all you did was plug and play a 40-year-old in place of Joe Burrow tells you all you need to know about the management of that team. That team is closer to being gutted than it is to be contending for a Super Bowl. I am that out on the Cincinnati Bengals just off of how much of a crossroads they're. I mean, they should get rid of the coach. They should change a lot of things philosophically and also in the construction of that team. Lastly, Zaz, Chiefs, 5-4, losing on the road to the Buffalo Bills, mostly out of the game. I know they had opportunities there at the end. Chiefs at 5-4, do we think less of them, or are they still going to be representing the AFC or close to it?
I don't know that they'll win the division. They're two back of Denver, but the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. And you got to remember, the Bills, this era of Bills, Allen versus Mahomes, Bills are 5-1 against them in the regular season. Bills always win that regular season game, 0-4 in the playoffs. The Chiefs always win the playoffs. So it is what it is. Regular season loss for Kansas City. They're going to wind up being a playoff team. Like I said, probably not win the division. And Mahomes will have to end up doing something he's never done before, which is win several road games to wind up getting to the Super Bowl, if that's the case. But that game yesterday doesn't make me feel any different about Kansas City. I mean, I was the one here at the start of the season saying Kansas City might stink. You get Rashee Rice back. You get healthy pieces. All of a sudden, they look pretty good again.
And I also sit on the side that, going into that game, I don't know if I would have learned anything. Because you're right. Like you said, 5-1 in the regular season.
They
that is a
win that game.
That's a Bills Super Bowl game. Yep. And on the other side of things, the Chiefs, they can't beat the Chiefs. That's their dark cloud in the postseason. So because of that, how can you draw that many conclusions about how good or bad the Chiefs are based on losing to Josh Allen? Like what? Oh, the Bills beat the Chiefs. Surely they must be a Super Bowl team. No, we've been dealing with this every single year.
Bills always win that game in the regular season.
They got questions. They got questions in the postseason. That's where you'll really learn what type of Bills team you have. Now, Zaz, where are you going this weekend for the college football campus tour?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama, LSU. We're going to get to see LSU for the first time without Brian Kelly as their head coach. Alabama, every game. We know the drill at this point. You don't want to lose any more games. You want to get to that ACC championship game. I like Tuscaloosa, so we will be there this weekend. I enjoyed my time there last week, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's 10 a.m. Eastern. You'll be able to hear on ESPN Radio this Saturday morning.
Do you expect any guts from LSU in this spot, similar to Florida?
I don't know if it's about guts. Alabama. I think Alabama's an elite team. I think I'm the minority there. You know, I know what week one was, that game against FSU. It's really hard to explain it.
It's a lifetime ago nowadays, too.
Right. It feels like forever ago. When we talk about the SEC, everyone is going to rave about Texas A&M, and deservedly so. I think Alabama's right there with them. So I don't think it's about LSU being able to show guts. I think this Alabama team is just a lot better than them.
And Zaz, where can people tune in if they want to listen to more?
Yeah, Zaslow Show 2.0, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Zaslow Show 2.0. Like, rate, comment, subscribe. I love you long time. We cover everything South Florida, everything Miami sports, and every episode is presented by Anajar and Levine. Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733.
Appreciate it as always, Zaz. Looking forward to talking again next week. Enjoy the weekend, all right?
All right, Colin. See you.
That's Jonathan Zaslow, the voice of the 305 on the Zaslow Show 2.0 in the College Football ESPN Radio College Football Campus Tour. We'll do our little game plan for greatness on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Knox in the house, right?
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
A Monday edition of Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, the first Monday of November, the 3rd, daylight savings, so it's getting dark nice and early nowadays as we try to get a little brighter of a morning. Nonetheless, Colin Russo, no Mike Rizzo today, Damian Perez behind the glass. We're at the ESPN City Place Studios, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter / X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. Go download the ESPN South Florida app today. It's your beat for South Florida sports. That includes Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. That includes, theoretically speaking, with Theo Dorsey and Christian Cat, which is 2-4 weekdays. That includes the Florida Panthers on their quest for a three-peat. Listen to all the games on the app. That includes our extended high school coverage of Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. No games this weekend. It's the makeup week, but we got postseason play coming up on the horizon in a couple weeks. We had the Muck Bowl over the weekend in which Glade Central controlled that one throughout. All that good stuff on the app. Go download today for free on the app store. Let's figure out what's going to happen because we got a Monday Night Football game tonight. Let's game plan for greatness.
Men, games aren't won on Friday night. They're won Monday through Thursday.
You find out life's a game of inches.
It's about preparation. It's about discipline. And it's about showing up ready to dominate.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah!
And now, your game plan for greatness. Brought to you by Men's Only Medical. Visit mensonlymedical.com.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, man!
Men's Only Medical, your spot for a concierge service, and get your things all checked up right there at Men's Only Medical on North Dixie Highway. Check it out today, mensonlymedical.com. No Mike Rizzo today, but we got Damian Perez. We got a Monday Night Football game tonight. How about the Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett back again, 2-5. Five-game losing streak. Color me surprised that the Cardinals surprise people early and then fall apart. Dallas Cowboys, the other side of things, 3-4-1 have been a lot up, a lot down. Been an erratic season for them, to say the least. 8:15 on ABC and ESPN, which is might not be on YouTube TV, too.
Did
That's
you
another
hear,
disaster.
Did you hear this Kyler Murray fiasco? So apparently he's healthy enough to be suited up. They will have packages for him, but he will not be starting.
Right. And it's his foot injury, I guess they don't want to run
foot
him.
Foot sprain.
Or they like Maybe they like Brissett and what he's shown.
Is this a soft benching?
And not a soft benching, but they liked what they... If Brissett goes out and plays great against the Cowboys, what are you going to do if you're going to put Kyler Murray back in the game? I mean, I guess this is what Brissett does, and Brissett stinks, and we've seen enough from him. What, is he going to be your starting quarterback? But the Colts played pretty well. Cardinals, last two games. Played the Colts well, played the Packers well. Those are two very good teams, two probably playoff teams on top of that. So you got to give them a little credit on that. Nonetheless, into the game tonight against the Dallas Cowboys on the road. I'll do the Cardinals, you do the Cowboys. All right,
Perfect.
Dame?
Yep.
If you're the Cardinals tonight, you got to make sure that you don't let them score 40 points. Dallas has their weeks on and off. You saw it against the Washington Commanders, who are not any good and have the worst injury bug you could possibly imagine, as we saw last night with Jaden Daniels going down. But if you let them get into the 30s, into the 40s, you're going to lose the game. You're going to have to keep this game low. You're going to have to keep this game low scoring, and you're going to have to slow down that offense. You know they're going to be able to score. Their biggest questions are defensively. They can't rush the passer very well at all, and this has been a team that has been erratic, to say the least. They had a terrible game against the Broncos, where the Broncos basically had firing practice on them at Mile High. They're back at home. They're usually good at home. Prescott's played well mostly throughout the season. You got to make sure that you only get to Dak Prescott, get him on the ground, but that offense, you need Jacoby Brissett to be moving the football, because you're going to need to score in the 20s and 30s to win this game. Cowboys, chalk it up that they're probably going to score in the 20s, in the mid to late 20s. That's not going to cut it if you're the Cardinals. You're going to need to score 30-plus points tonight. You want to beat the Cowboys? I have a hard time seeing that Cardinal defense on a five-game losing streak, even post-bye. I have a hard time seeing them shut down that Dallas offense to sub 25, 24 points. You're going to need to score. You're going to need to move the football. Jacoby Brissett's need to have a good game. You're going to need to get to Dak Prescott. Damian Prez, the other side of things, if you're Dallas Cowboys, in order to win, you need to do what?
It's simple for the Cowboys. They're playing at home. They got the second highest scoring offense, but they're very vulnerable on defense. I think if you're the Cowboys, you can't beat yourself. Don't turn the ball over. Keep your foot on the gas on offense. Put up points against this Cardinal defense that could be a bit vulnerable. And on defense, you have to cancel out McBride. Since Brissett has started, McBride has been going absolutely crazy. He's the key to their offense. He's the man to stop. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, go out there, stop McBride. Keep your foot on the gas and put up a lot of points with that air raid that you got. And get Javonte Williams going. That's another big one.
You think Dallas still has playoff chances if they're able to steal this game?
Absolutely. They do. They 4-4-1.
That would put them, I guess, with a tie right next to Minnesota at that 10 spot. Carolina's still the team above them. Chicago's the team above them. And then Detroit is still hanging around there. You get San Francisco, who seemingly continues to win games because of their bad schedule. It's not going to be an easy NFC to break into. AFC is the side that you want to be. If you want to break into the postseason.
Especially after this past week.
Absolutely. So if you're Dallas, you don't have a lot of these big-time games that you could drop on the schedule. Now, it helps with Washington not being any good. It helps with the Giants sort of falling apart in front of our eyes. You know, the Eagles are always going to be the Eagles. They're still going to be great. But the NFC West has a lot of great teams. You saw that with Seattle, and you saw that with the Rams. And San Francisco's got the easiest schedule in the NFL. That's already makes it tough to sneak in as a wild card. You're going to need to really surprise some teams, and the defense is going to need to figure it out. Nonetheless, that was our game plan for greatness presented by Men's Only Medical as we close out the program here and go into the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. Coming back after this, we got you for another hour. We'll get into what we saw in the past week of the NFL slate. We'll get into what we expect tonight, some of the best bets we could have made from throughout Week 9 looking into Week 10. A lot more to do next hour right here on ESPN 106.3. That's been Damian Prez, Colin Russo. We'll take a timeout momentarily. Really quick, Northern Arizona and Drake. Drake is up 68, Northern Arizona 66 in the opening game of college basketball. Tim Russo, coach for Northern Arizona. Just keeping my eye on that. Drake just scored again. Up 5. Uh-oh. We'll see you in a couple minutes. It's the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. After this on ESPN 106.3.